I'm not sure how this happened, but I've become one of the old guys at Farm Bureau. But I do get to enjoy hanging around a bunch of young folks. And today, the old guy and you get to hear from some of our organization's emerging young leaders. They are our four finalists in the annual discussion meet, who are testing and building their skills at discussing and discovering solutions to challenges that face the food industry. Agriculture's Next Generation joins us today on Town Hall, Ohio.
This is Town Hall, Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall, Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working to forge a partnership between farmers and consumers, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall, Ohio host, Joe Corneli.
At the core of Farm Bureau is the idea that people working together can solve problems. And one of our ways to identify future leaders who can carry through on that belief is a contest we call the Discussion Meet. Now, we'll explain the contest more fully in a few moments, but first I'd like to introduce you to the four young ladies who've made it to the finals of the competition. They are Shauna Angel of Bolivar, Danielle Birch of Salem, Katie Lee of Magnolia, and Michaela Wright of Arcanum. Now, one qualifier I need to mention before we get into the show. Due to the fact that we recorded this the same day that the contest finals were held, the winner of the discussion meet will have already been named by the time everybody's listening to this. That said, I'm sure you'll come away with some great insights into the thoughts of four very interesting young leaders. Ladies, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us today.
Thanks for having us here.
Thank you.
So let's just go around the table here and introduce yourself to our listeners. A little bit about your personal background, your connection to food and farming. Michaela, we'll start with you.
Okay, so like you said, I'm from Arcanum, Ohio, which is in Dart County. And I grew up being involved in 4-H with my family and raising sheep and spending time out in the garden. And then I went to Wilmington College to study agriculture and graduated there in May of 2016. And now I'm at Ohio State studying public administration, hoping to get into agriculture policy.
So you're a fellow alum along with Chip Nelson, our engineer here. He's from Wilmington College as well. Shauna, how about yourself?
Right now I live in Bolivar, Ohio, and actually farm in Port Washington, Ohio. I graduated in 2012 from Ohio State with a degree in agribusiness and applied economics, and I'm currently pursuing a master's in ag and extension education. I'm married to Dr. Jonathan Angel of Sugar Creek Vet Clinic, and we have a small farm where we raise cattle and bees and produce.
Danielle, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a 2010 graduate of Mount Union University. I have degrees in political science and history, and I went on to get my master's in teaching, so I get to teach the youth about government. My husband and I run a dairy farm in Salem, Ohio. We farm about 90 cows or so, and then our milk ships off to Gugusburg Cheese, and if you ever eat that baby Swiss, then you're welcome.
Katie, we're going to let folks know Katie's fighting a cold as we record this, so if she doesn't join in quite as much or if she starts to fade a little bit, that's why. But welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us today. I am from Magnolia, Ohio. We are just right inside there at Carroll County. We used to milk cows. We had sold out about 3 years ago. And at this point, we are raising replacement heifers and some of the old steers that we do have. We're kind of switching over to the beef side and grain farming. A little different atmosphere on there. Not as much work, I guess. But I am got two children, and I guess that's basically it. I didn't go to college, but I enjoy, you know, the dairy side of everything and learned a lot by doing it. So,
well, get us started understanding a little bit about the Young Ag Professionals Program. I mentioned the discussion meet sponsored by Ohio Farm Bureau. It's actually the Young Ag Professionals Group within Ohio Farm Bureau. We refer to them as YAP or YAP. Tell us about the group.
Okay. Basically, this is my second year actually being at the convention, so it's actually meeting a lot of great people. Kind of looking on the website, I know there's like a committee that the young people actually, they do all the work. And on the website itself, actually Shauna and her husband are on there. They actually do like blogs and things like that they spotlight these young egg professionals, and they get to basically tell their story.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun at the state level, and also we have at the local level too, at least in our county. Not every county has a local group quite yet. They're still working on that. But in Tuscarawas County, where I'm from, we have a pretty strong young ag professionals group where we hold four events a year with all the anyone 18 to 35 in the county can come. We've done bowling, we've done retreats, and things like that. And then also at the national level, last year I was chosen as one of a group of, I think, four people who were selected to go to the National Young Farmers and Ranchers Convention in Kansas City. So that was an awesome opportunity through Ohio Young Ag Professionals.
And you'll help our listeners understand a little bit more about the discussion meet. What's its purpose? How's it work?
Sure. I think it spotlights the main big questions that everybody has about agriculture. We have these big, tough decisions, and nobody really thinks that farmers have to worry about that type of stuff. They just keep their animals alive and, you know, do what they do. But the discussion meet brings to light just how thoughtful the whole business of agriculture is and how expanding it is, how wide it is. And it takes a lot for, I'm sure, the four of us to sit down and really get into the nuts and bolts of what's going on in agriculture to help us out.
Michaela, your thoughts on the discussion meet and its value to you personally and to an organization like Farm Bureau?
Yeah, definitely. So me personally, it's just been an opportunity to really dig deeper into the issues and learn more about them that, you know, maybe some things that I didn't know. And then it also just gets me out there practicing, you know, public speaking and also just sharing ideas with other young ag professionals. And then I think it helps Farm Bureau because we're generating ideas for them to take forward and actually use for policy in the future.
So there were semifinals in this competition that were held last November at the Ohio Farm and Food Leadership Forum, and the finals taking place this winter here at the Young Ag Professionals Winter Conference. And as we mentioned, these ladies are the four finalists. By the time this show airs, though, you can see who actually won the competition because it'll be up on ofbf.org. It will be posted there for you. And our winner will be going on and representing Ohio at the national competition later on, well, actually into early 2018. So maybe if you would, Shauna, start us off. As you look at the challenges of young people your age, 35 and under for the most part, what are some of the things that are tough about being involved and trying to get started into the farming enterprise?
I would say as far as getting started in agriculture, it's the big age difference between us and the next group higher. You know, millennials definitely think a little bit differently than
never noticed
than the millennials do. We're very we're very feedback based and things like that. And so trying to close that gap between us and the next generation. And you know, sometimes we're really excited about new technology and the people coming before us are like, well, slow down a second here. So there's definitely that age gap coming in, as well as resources, especially right now in the commodity markets, the way they are trying to get the financing and things like that to get started.
Agreed, 100%. Financing for any type of farming is difficult, let alone one that could be successful in today's markets. The markets are brutal. And if you're not prepared for that, then you're really going to get slammed.
One of the things that that I get asked about is how do young people get started? I do media relations for Farm Bureau, too. And to me, I think the best way is to have parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. You're all nodding your head. But what about those that don't? Are there avenues that that folks can pursue to get their foot in the door if they want to be in the production side of agriculture?
We started with just a piece of land about a year and a half ago on our farm. The one thing you have to remember if you're just starting out is you got to go slow, or else you're just going to end up in a pile of debt. So take it slow, decide what you want to do, make a plan, and take on what debt you can, but keep it balanced on your balance sheet so that you're not just, you know, having all debt and no assets.
Well, and it's important for anybody who's looking at farming to understand that it comes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It never goes away. And I'm speaking as a dairyman, but still you see just nonstop work. And people shut down farms because they just can't handle the workload that's there. So be prepared.
What was your entree into the food industry, Katie?
I agree with her. I mean, it's not you can't take a vacation, cows don't sleep. And I actually didn't grow up with a farming background. I actually started milking cows and was going to be a nurse and kind of fell in love with the cows.
Sweeter than people sometimes.
but it's not something that I expected I would see myself getting into. Yes, I did 4-H growing up and things like that, but the sacrifices that sure. I took to continue, with our dairy farm and things like that, young people in this generation, you don't see them taking them sacrifices, or you don't see them, putting the cows before themselves. And that's why I think, I love my cows, I guess.
Katie Lee, Danielle Birch, Shauna Angel, Michaela Wright, the four finalists in Ohio Farm Bureau's discussion meet. So it's tough to get started in some cases. But what are some of the biggest attractions? Michaela, maybe we'll start with you. Why do this? You ladies are all pretty sharp. You could have gone into a lot of different careers. You could have, frankly, gotten out of the food and farming sector, but you didn't. Why?
I think just for me, it's enjoyable to kind of, like Katie was saying, cows are fun to be around. Sometimes animals are more fun than people. But I think also it's just, like, for me, it's a family thing. And me and my siblings and my parents can all get involved in working with our lambs and growing our garden. And it's just really enjoyable for us. It's more of a hobby for us. It's not what we do for a living, but it, makes it enjoyable to be able to spend time outdoors together and just enjoying the outdoors.
The one thing I'll say is in the food and farm industry, I do not see the same passion matched in any other industry. To be in this industry, you have to love what you do because it is a 24/7 job, no matter what. And if you've got people that really love what they do that much, it's just an incredible industry to be involved in. From the minute that I stepped onto ag campus at Ohio State, I was sold. I didn't start out in ag. I started in engineering. I actually have a minor in engineering. I don't have a big ag background. I didn't grow up on a farm or anything. But once I met the people involved, I was sold for life.
I know one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen was watching my husband carry my about 8-month-old daughter at the time and holding hands with my 5-year-old son and walking up to the calf barn and just seeing the elation on his face. And farming and agriculture, the entire industry, is for the people, and that's important. And I think whenever you embody it in the beautifulness of family walking to make sure that food is provided for everyone out there, that it really takes agriculture to a new level.
And with the dairy background, nothing replaces, you're taking care of a week old calf, and all of a sudden you go out in the next shift after messing with it for the 6 hours beforehand, and it's standing and wanting to eat. I mean, that feeling in itself of caring and nurturing and bringing something back to one day, replace its mother or grandmother. I mean, the feeling in itself is magical. I mean, going out and seeing these calves every day and the cows themselves too.
So I don't farm either, but Town Hall Ohio listeners, a personal message. You just heard why I love being involved in this industry too. An immense commitment to an important mission and a way of life. We will be back to talk more with our four finalists in the Ohio Farm Bureau discussion meet right after this. Welcome you back to Town Hall, Ohio, and welcome to the studio our four finalists in the Ohio Farm Bureau Young Ag Professionals Discussion Meet competition. Shauna Angel, Danielle Birch, Katie Lee, and Michaela Wright are in the studio with us. So we're going to get into some of the subject matter that you ladies needed to prepare for, to be able to discuss through several rounds of competition. But maybe, Danielle, start us off on... So you get thrown these subjects. You say, I want to be in the discussion meet. And they say, okay, you're going to talk about this, that, and the other thing. How do you prepare? I mean, some of it's going to be personal knowledge, but I'm guessing it takes some studying.
Well, for me, whenever I talk about looking and sitting down and studying, I have to understand the words first. So I make sure I look up all the definitions to make sure I have the question crystal clear. Once I've got my head wrapped around the definitions and what I'm looking at here, my first jump to go to is always Farm Bureau. I instantly go to the Farm Bureau page and look and see what they say about the subject, because that's why we're here, and we're trying to incorporate Farm Bureau into our solutions to these problems as much as possible. So to see what work Farm Bureau has already done is always my jumping point.
Yep, and as soon as I get my information on Farm Bureau's already got together on the topic, then usually I start to look at the news, and then I start to talk to people. I actually, for one of my questions, reached out to a Facebook group to try and learn more about a subject that I didn't really know anybody to ask about. So I got some really cool and really creative responses that way.
I have acquaintances that that the lady had worked at Lauren Manufacturing, and her mother had worked with some laborers. And I had got in contact with her and had started asking a bunch of questions, you know, like who, what, when, where, and how. And that's how I got some of my information one of our questions.
Yeah, and also, you know, I did very similar things to these ladies here, you know, starting with Farm Bureau page and then using that as kind of my platform to build on top of that. Meeting with people who had experience with these issues also, and then looking up related articles and things that were recent in the news.
We want to say a quick thank you to our outside sponsors of the Discussion Meat competition for Ohio Farm Bureau's Young Ag Professionals. One of these four ladies, as we said at the top, has already won the competition, and I can tell already that it was a hard-fought competition. I'm glad I'm not one of the judges, but the state winner receives a $1,000 cash award from Nationwide, a generator from Polaris, an expense-paid trip to the Ohio Farm Bureau annual meeting coming up next winter. That includes a couple of nights lodging. And an expense-paid trip to the American Farm Bureau annual convention. That'll be in January of next year in Nashville, Tennessee. And we'll participate representing Ohio in the National Discussion Meet Contest. So let's get down to some of the issues. And Michaela, we'll start with you. One of the issues that you ladies were asked to discuss is, how can we ensure that farmers and ranchers, not government agencies, are driving the management of natural resources? Get that discussion started for us.
Yeah, definitely. So this is, you know, like all of these topics, a very challenging topic to discuss. And we have this issue where, you know, the government a lot of time is just kind of telling us what we can and can't do. And as farmers, we need to step up and be able to make suggestions and tell them what we're actually doing on our farms and let them know, and just sharing that we also care for our natural resources and want to do the best that we can. And I think that there's just, you know, a bridge that we need to gap or to just try and help them understand where we're coming from.
I think a really great example of that is like the 4R nutrient certification here in Ohio and things like that, where farmers at first, I think they were voluntarily stepping up and getting that certification ahead of that becoming something that is being mandated by the government, and really taking charge and taking ownership of how they handle the situation.
That's right. I think a lot of people in the media like to portray farmers as these big bad guys that are doing horrible things to all of our natural resources. And we rely on natural resources more than almost any other industry does. And so for us to step up and take control of the management of what is our livelihood is so important. And we see that with the nutrient management and the water management systems that we have in place all throughout Ohio.
We are sharing some of the subject matter that our guests are covering as members of the Discussion Meet. In the studio with us, Michaela Wright, Katie Lee, Danielle Birch, and Shauna Angel. Danielle, I'm gonna press all of you here a little bit on this. You expressed the need for farmers to have a role, but isn't it government's responsibility to protect the citizenry as a whole? Doesn't government have some kind of a role in this process?
Of course they do, but the government is run by we the people. And that is important for people to understand. We don't just elect people and ask them to go do a job for us. We elect people and tell them to do the job the way we want it done. And so as farmers, we need to take control of that in our government agencies and in our government representatives and let them know just exactly what we need to see happen.
So do you think the public buys that? Do you think the they have confidence enough in farmers to be reasonable in their expectations?
I think we could probably do a better job of telling our story and letting people know that we are doing good things and we do care about the land. And just adding on to what Danielle was saying, farmers own a lot of the land that our natural resources are on. And so that's just another reason why we need to work with our government on this issue.
And I think this is exactly where Farm Bureau needs to come in. So that's exactly what Farm Bureau is for us to be able to have that communication with our legislators.
We will be back in just a couple of moments as we continue discussing some of the big issues impacting on the food and farm sector with our four finalists in the Ohio Farm Bureau Young Ag Professionals Discussion Meet. We'll be back right after this. We have four fine female representatives of the food and farm profession with us today. They are finalists in the Young Ag Professionals Discussion Meet competition that Ohio Farm Bureau puts on each year. The idea is to bring smart people around a table and talk about complex issues and propose solutions and ways Farm Bureau can engage. Helping us do that today, Michaela Wright, Katie Lee, Danielle Birch, and Shauna Angel. Katie, one of the items that you ladies had to prepare for to discuss, the subject matter, getting to labeling. Today's food companies employ a lot of tactics to gain marketing edges. What's the purpose of food labels? How can Farm Bureau work to ensure that consumers understand the labels and, most important, are confident in the safety and quality of their food?
Well, as a mother of two young children, food quality is a very big concern of mine. But I also garden too, so, you know, natural fruits and veggies are always good. But one of the biggest things that we talked about at the discussion meet was education. Like some of these packaging people put on here, no antibiotics. Well, I know from experience, our milk is not sold with antibiotics in it. Everything is tested. They take samples constantly, and if something would happen to be what we call hot, I mean, it's literally discarded right there and then. I mean, nothing is ever sold with antibiotics or something that's going to hurt somebody in the long run.
Absolutely. You're totally correct with that. You know, and there's been a lot of pushes by some food companies, some restaurants and things like that with labels that don't necessarily have a whole lot of meaning. So the purpose of food labels is to let people know what is in the food and the ingredients of the food and if there's any allergens or anything that might harm them in the food. I think by putting these extraneous labels that don't really mean anything at all onto food that or that they may have a definition, but it's doesn't reflect at all the quality or the safety of the food, that we're just causing confusion for consumers in the grocery store.
Yeah, a lot of the food companies are using these labels as marketing tactics and not actually for what consumers want them for, and that's to know what's in our food and if it's safe for us to eat. And so we, you know, are really asking for consistency among these labels, and that way they're clear to us and clear to consumers who are worried about what they're, you know, putting in their bodies.
That's correct. Buzzwords are all the rage, and that's the reason why we see words added to the dictionary every year that probably shouldn't be. And these words that they use, these no antibiotics or anything like that, we know as farmers that would never be sold that way. But consumers don't know that. And it's our job to help put that message out there that we care and we want to put the best food in our body. So we would want to put the best food in your body as well.
So what do you ladies think? It's part of my belief, not just using it as a marketing ploy, but does it diminish the credibility of products that don't carry those labels?
Oh, of course.
Does the public seem to think that GMO-free, whether GMOs are in strawberries or not, GMO-free strawberries tends to make you think, well, if that label's not there, the that I'm not getting the best product.
Yeah, clearly. I think we if that label is missing, then they're like, well, clearly I'm eating some monstrous thing that was grown in somebody's basement with, you know, all these additional additives and everything else and that and the other. And that's just not true. There's a lot of misconceptions as to what GMOs and non-GMOs and antibiotics and animal health and plant health and all of the steps that farmers take to make sure that the product is a great one is out there. And it's not just here. It's all across the world. We see farmers really stepping up their game to help make sure that the food that's being produced is the best food possible.
I found it interesting that Katie's first thing she said is, as a mother of children, how important is it to connect emotionally as well as scientifically with people? Because as farmers, we traditionally have always relied on the facts and the science. And my sense is there's a lot of people out there that they just want to look you in the eye and believe you, as opposed to reading some USDA scientific data.
In a Facebook world, everything is about emotions. Everything's about that picture that's put with whatever sensational headline is on the latest Facebook viral article that's going around. And everything is so emotional based now that we really, really have to work with the emotions of consumers and really connect with them on a personal level to build that trust so that they are really understanding what these labels mean and what we're really trying to do with these different farming methods and things like that.
And I think we've seen a real problem with a certain generation of farmers who have always just been able to do their job, send off their product, it's all fine. And that's not the way the world works anymore. And we have to be ready to put our own story out there and put a face with the product and say, you know, this is coming from me, and I am a trustworthy person.
And I appreciate the fact that you didn't look right at me when you said this generation.
You don't look a day over 30.
Oh, man. Make sure you record that, Chip, and save that part, will you? We're going to talk with Danielle Birch, one of my favorite people in the entire
world.
You're
so welcome.
As well as three other of my favorite folks, Shauna Angel of Bolivar, Danielle is over at Salem, Katie Lee of Magnolia, Michaela Wright of Arcanum, the finalists in Ohio Farm Bureau Young Ag Professionals Discussion Meet.
Have you heard about the next generation? You are the leaders of tomorrow, and tomorrow's here today. Mm-hmm. Well, tomorrow's here
today. Now, I'm going to take it as a good thing. I picked this bumper music out for the radio show, and here's an old guy that picked out the bumpers, and the young ladies are nodding their heads and tapping their feet, so I'm going to consider that a good thing.
It's good music.
Good.
Yeah, it's, getting my dance on.
Yes, right.
So I can officially consider myself groovy.
That's right.
Yes.
I don't think we use
Absolutely.
That term anymore.
Oh,
but
okay.
That
well,
might make you older than 30.
I'll figure something out here. We're chatting with four young ladies who are Ohio Farm Bureau's finalists in the Young Ag Professionals Discussion Meet. They get around the table and they discuss important issues and try to come up with solutions that Farm Bureau can help implement. Doing that with us today are those four finalists, Michaela Wright, Katie Lee, Danielle Birch, and Shauna Angel. Shauna, I want to maybe start this next subject that you ladies were asked to discuss in the meet. The fact that big data exists, and I'm going to ask you to kind of give us a layman's description of big data, but part of what happens when we can collect this is farmers need to maintain the ownership of that data, of their own intellectual property and proprietary information. So maybe start by describing for the public where big data is a part of the food system.
Right. So technology is just, you know, taking off. And nowadays, on a lot of farms, if you climb in a tractor cab, there's probably five or six computers in that tractor cab that you're looking at all different kinds of screens with all different kinds of data. And that data is being collected. And, you know, if you're looking at precision planting, things like that, all that data has been collected. And once that data is collected, then the debate comes up on what to do with that data. So a lot of companies, like I think the tractor companies and things like that, they take that data and they use it to make their products more efficient. The seed companies are able to use that to design better seed. The fertilizer companies can use that to, you know, refine their fertilizer application techniques. And that data is extremely valuable. And the idea behind this question is, how do farmers make sure that they are able to keep that data if they want to keep that data, and if they want to participate and send that data out so that it can be used to develop better products and things like that, then they can do that. But at some point, if they want to call it back, can they call it back, and things like that.
On the dairy farm, all of our cows are hooked up to our computers and our cell phones, and it's pretty fun that we can, you know, be hundreds of miles away and still know which cows need attention, and which is awesome for us. But at the same time, that data, when looked at from the eyes of someone who thinks that maybe animal treatment is cruel on certain farms or whatnot, you can really see how that might turn around and hurt the farmer instead of help the way it's intended to. And so it does beg the question, how do farmers and ranchers not only protect themselves and their farm, but also the inventions that they create upon their farm to best aid their animals and, you know, their fertilizers and their plants and work that way to help the entire industry? It's a big question.
Yeah. In reading the fine print when looking at these software programs for these tractors or the software programs for the cows, I know there's quite a few, or there's a couple different ones out there for that too. I mean, just making sure before you get in too deep, you understand what this company is using this data for. So,
well, I noticed, as we pointed out, there are a variety of topics that all of you had to study up on, but you were all in agreement, Michaela, that in terms of being able to grasp this subject matter, this was probably the hardest one to study up on, because it's fresh and there really aren't any really solid good answers yet. We just know we've got to figure them out.
Right. This was definitely one of the most difficult ones for me, and I learned a lot in the process of studying for this. But I think one of the reasons, kind of like you said, is it's a fairly new topic, and we haven't had the technology that we have now around for a long time. And we are so much, in this day more than ever, able to access information almost instantly. And so everyone is constantly wanting to gather all of this information. And so as producers, we need to be able to, you know who has access to our information and how it's being used, and, you know, have the ability to protect ourselves.
Yeah, I think we're all familiar with online privacy issues, and I don't want anybody being able to dip into my checking account or those kind of things. And then you expand that exponentially for the economic value alone of this data for farmers. It is an issue that I think we're all in agreement is going to have to be resolved. Is that the job of Farm Bureau in part, ladies?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. 100%. There are our mode of transportation through the world of policy. And that's where this is going to have to stem from, is a policy standpoint to try to help protect the farmer as well as enhance the industry. So Farm Bureau is going to be a major driver in that.
Our four finalists in this year's discussion meet. Again, a big thank you to our sponsors, Nationwide kicking in a $1,000 cash award from Polaris, a generator, an Ohio Farm Bureau annual meeting expense paid trip coming up in December, and an expense paid trip to the American Farm Bureau Convention next January in Nashville. We'll be back to hear our final round of thoughts from our discussion meet finalists right after this.
We talk. Let's talk. Can we talk? Let's talk.
Welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio, our discussion meet finalists from the Young Ag Professionals Competition in with us today. And if you're just now joining us, the idea is to put some smart young people around the table and figure out solutions to some pressing issues. One of the biggest issues pressing our nation right now, the whole idea of foreign-born labor force. We all know the rancorous debate over immigration. The fact is, agriculture needs people to help us raise our food and fiber here in the United States. So, Michaela, we'll let you start on that subject. Your thoughts on this whole immigration and labor force issue?
Yeah, so this is definitely a tough one, and definitely one that everyone is talking about, even outside of the agricultural community. And it's a very polarizing issue, so people take pretty hard stances on it. And I think right now, since it is such a widely talked about topic, we have an opportunity to get our voices out there and try and impact change to help the government know what we need as agriculture producers.
As it stands, there's there's a lot of need for labor in the agriculture industry all across the United States. Even in Tuscarawas County, we have a huge Guatemalan population that works on our dairy farms, at Case Farms, and things like that. And then you look out in Hartville, Ohio, where they have the migrant workers that come through and do the pick the produce and things like that. So it's really important that we have an efficient system so that those temporary workers can come to the United States and do their work.
And I, the purpose of this is to, this question, I think, is to sit down and take away the positions from the far right and the far left and find a position that works. Because to remove every immigrant doesn't seem like that would be plausible or a good idea for the agriculture industry. And yet at the same time, you can't just let everything and everyone wash in and saturate the industry as well. So it's finding the balance and finding the balance that works for the industry and for farmers.
Well, and in doing the research for this topic, I have read where farmers are actually getting away from crops that have to be handpicked because the labor isn't there. And if they do get some people in, it's just not enough to get the crops off in a certain amount of time because there's such a short window. I mean, as being farmers, you realize that there's such a short window that this stuff needs to be getting off. And, you know, if it's the labor is not there, then, I mean, millions of dollars is lost daily. You know, when things aren't getting taken off.
I agree. It is the number one concern of any producer is the labor force behind the production. On our farm, out of 100 cows, the thing that's always the most concerning is the person who's in charge of the 100 of them. And it's that one that can really, you know, make or break the business.
The bumper sticker version I've heard repeated frequently about this. We can import our labor or we can import our food. So with that, we'll just go around the table here real quick. You guys have all been very generous with your time. Absolutely wonderful insights. You're all leaders in your communities. You're young. You're energetic. Why Farm Bureau? Why did you pick this organization to make your mark on the community?
This is Michaela. I'll go first on that one. And I would say that I chose Farm Bureau just because of the networking and the camaraderie within the group. And you really get to be involved with lots of different types of farmers. And you can learn a lot about the industry through, you know, the various backgrounds that everyone comes from.
Well, this is Shauna Angel. To be completely honest, I decided to get more involved with Farm Bureau because I met my husband through Farm Bureau, and I figured I owed something back to the organization.
That's a unique answer. But, I love it.
But really, I love what it does for the industry. I love how it can keep me involved in the industry. I get to meet people from all over the United States within agriculture.
Yeah, and I, Danielle Birch, know that the the people that I meet through every single Farm Bureau function I go to, be it at the county level or all the way up to the national level that I've gotten to be involved in, has just been, the people are phenomenal. And the connections you make are so necessary for the growth of your industry. It's just a phenomenal organization.
Hi, my name's Katie Lee. You know, when people ask, well, why are you spending so much time with this? And it's, you know, these other three ladies that are sitting here with me, two of them I did not know whatsoever. And, you know, we haven't seen each other since November, but there's a connection here. And it's not like we're out, even though this is a competition, but we're out to help each other and to make things better. And it's great to be able to work with these ladies on doing this.
I got to tell you, this is about an hour-long advertisement for why you should be in Farm Bureau. And I want to thank you all for helping us tell that story. Best of luck to, because we recorded this before, but the contest will have been completed. So best of luck, ladies.
Thank you.
Shauna
Thank
Angel, you. Danielle Birch, Katie Lee, Michaela Wright, for outstanding spokesperson and finalists in Farm Bureau's discussion meet.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall, Ohio.